0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The transfer window is officially shut, with Rangers securing their deal for Kevin Kelsey, and Bedradeen Bouinani is also set to be announced. No more additions for Celtic today, but they did add five yesterday, but three of them miss out on their Europa League squad. That was on a night of Premiership action that saw wins for Celtic, Rangers, Motherwell and St Mirren, with an Edinburgh derby to look forward to tonight. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL.
Yeah, it's been an exciting few days. Obviously, everybody in the countdown to transfer window closing at 5 o'clock tonight, and if you can keep up with all the transfers in Scotland, then you're a better man than me. I'm all over the place with it, but I'm sure a lot of clubs will be happy with the business it's done. And then we looked to last night, Andrew, at some of the league games, some very important results. Celtic getting another win, Rangers back in for Motherwell as well. What's happened to Kilmarnock so far? It just not happening for Neil McCann and Billy Dodge down there, but hopefully for Kilmarnock supporters that will turn. And obviously there's the Edinburgh derby tonight, and I'm blessed to be in the presence of Championship's top manager, Marvin Bartley from Stenhouse Muir. Hello.
I thought you were going to say Edinburgh derby sub or something.
It is wonderful to see that, especially when Wilson's under you.
You better be strong to hold me up. Listen, I'm going to start with St Mirren yesterday. That's probably the only result you didn't speak about. Craig McLeish, the start that he's made there. They've been wonderful to watch. Again, you know, obviously someone's in there before, and it's a real change of play or change of style from Craig and his staff. So, yeah, actually watched parts of that game yesterday. They were really, really good against Kilmarnock, like you said, with Neil McCann struggling there.
A manic deadline day for Stenhouse Muir.
No, not that. Well, yeah. Do you know what? It was actually close to being. We were close to bringing a player in, and then we decided not to do it. But we should have another one that's been signed. So brought one player in, which we really, really wanted, and we've been chasing him for a while, and we were close to two.
This window was closed when the full-time manager was locking up
the caretaker.
I'll close the window. By the way, I've got to apologise on the St Man situation. The reason I'm not mentioning it is, if you look at my predictions, I've got them well down there, but they've been absolutely brilliant, as Marv said there. But you've got to look at this. A lot of clubs have been very good, very active in the transfer market as well. It's exciting one day after another, and then I'm really looking forward to the Edinburgh derby tonight. Mm-hmm. Brings such an atmosphere, and it'll be a great, great game.
0141 951 1025. We have so much to get through tonight, because there were five Premiership games last night. So how do you think your team got on? Were you happy with what you saw? Maybe you were a bit disappointed if your team didn't get the result you were after. You can let us know, 0141 951 1025. But I think a lot of the chat tonight is going to be dominated by the transfer window, because it was a bit of an odd one, shut at 5 o'clock instead of 11 o'clock or midnight, which I actually don't mind, because whatever deadline you set, the clubs are just going to work towards it. So it means that we're not all having to stay up until midnight to see what teams are going to do. 5 o'clock, end of the working day, and then we can come on air and talk about it.
Andrew, just since you've come into this industry and this sort of a side of it, has there been a window with so many players getting signed from all different clubs? You look at for instance, Falkirk. What was it, 17?
Yeah, I think 17 players they signed this window.
Rangers, 13. Round about that. Celtic, they went on some spree on Wednesday. We couldn't keep up with what's happening.
Yeah, five
there.
Just yesterday. Yeah. And then Oliver Sorensen signed the night before. Yeah. So it was pretty much six in 24 hours.
Aberdeen, another one. It's brought in a lot of players. It's been unbelievable, the amount of new players that have come in. And that's what leads it up to being a very exciting season.
0141 951 1025. As I mentioned, it might be transfers that are on your mind. Rangers fans, Kevin Kelsey, that one had been going on for a little bit, hadn't it? But he is officially in the door. £9 million he has been brought in as a striker, technically Youssef Djerméti's replacement after his injury. Are you glad that he is through the door? What about Bedradeen Bouinani? That one kind of came out of nowhere today, and all of a sudden he is going to be in the building. It's our understanding that that deal is done, just waiting on the official confirmation. All the actual paperwork was done before the deadline at 5 o'clock, so you can let us know what you think of that. Celtic fans, no signings today, but yesterday was kind of your transfer deadline, wasn't it? Because the Europa League squad deadline was 11 o'clock last night. Celtic made five signings yesterday. Are you happy with who was brought in? Were there other areas that you wanted to strengthen? What about the fact that three of the players are missing out on the Europa League squad? Is that a big deal to you? Are you quite happy with who is in? Fans of every club, where's the excitement in the transfer window for you? Are there any gaps in your squad that you feel need to be or weren't addressed during the window? Let us know. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Edinburgh Derby tonight. We'll look back on some of the other games. But let's go through some of the business today, shall we? We'll start with Rangers because a £9 million striker has been signed. He's been talked about for a few days now, Kevin Kelsey, but he is in the door. And at £9 million, if you're a striker that's been brought in for that amount of money in Scottish football, you're probably expecting to start and supporters are expecting you to score.
Yeah, and the good thing and plus is, and this is where Derek might have a little bit of a headache, all of a sudden the guy you did bring in from Hearts made him the captain, 3 goals in 2 games, looks really confident now. His second goal last night was absolutely brilliant, yeah. You've got to say that. I'm not too sure about the first, what the goalkeeper's doing, but all of a sudden it gives you such a brilliant headache. Did Shanklin play off this? Kelsey, he's been brought in for £9 million, a big layout in him, so it looks like he probably will start. Will it be a wee tweaker, one or two things? All of a sudden Rangers look in a good place in the forward line, so it'll be interesting to see how all these clubs shoehorn all these players into their squads.
Especially with Rangers have changed formation quite a bit over the last few weeks. The last 2 games, Dennett McInnes has played a 4-2-3-1. You think bringing in a £9 million striker where Lauren Shankland is the captain and is scoring goals, how do you fit the two of them in? Is there a natural attacking midfielder with Telo Asgard now out the door? They've been playing a winger in that hole. It'll be interesting to see how Dennett McInnes puts it all together with the new signings in the door.
Yeah, as Gordon said there, you want competition for places. You know, I think they have to play with wingers. I've noticed them play 4-4-2 at times and wing-backs as well. I think when you're Rangers and Celtic, you have to play with wingers, you have to have that attacking style. And look, Derek's teams look a lot better, or looked a lot better, you know, doing that of recent. I saw Phil Neville speaking about Kevin Kelsey and saying he's got all the raw attributes to really kick on. He said he's a really good signing for Rangers. He thinks he'll be a top player. He said he's a little bit rough around the edges with certain things, so I'm really interested to see him and see how he plays. But I do think Shanklin can play underneath. And I know he did at times at Hearts, and people saying, listen, he's better as a number nine. I just think, you know, Shanklin needs someone at the top end with a real pace, and you know Kevin Kelsey's apparently he has that. So I think Shanklin playing just underneath him or just off him, I think that can definitely work. But again, like we said, they're going to be real competition for places because they need silverware this season, Rangers.
What can those goals do for Lauren Shanklin last night? A couple from open play, maybe hadn't had the best start to the season, but I think you could probably just say that for Rangers in general. But the fact that he got a couple of goals, a couple of important goals, took them well, you'll really be hoping that he can now properly kick on.
It's massive, not just for the fact that when you go to a new club, you, and especially the reputation that Shankly come into Rangers, everybody just thought, guaranteed, he's got a baggy goals. Didn't go off the best start, and a few of the games, he's on the bench, he's coming off, he's not looking the confident striker that we know he is. I thought there was a massive difference in him last night. Mm-hmm. You know, his penalty kick up at Pittodrie was fantastic, especially the pressure he was under. And I know people will go, oh, professional footballers should never miss a penalty kick, but it does happen, especially with the pressure it's on you. The reason I thought Shanklin was back to his best, his second goal just sums Lauren Shanklin up for me last night. He's won a fantastic, it's the way he's just placed that. It's a great touch. He's involved in the build up with a nice wee delicate header, gets it back, and it's a great finish. Goals make strikers. There's no doubt you live off your goals. And Shanklin, 3 in the last 2 games, that for me will be him up and running.
He missed a big chance, though, didn't he, at 1-1?
Yeah.
Near post, and you expect him to probably put that in the back of the net, and he doesn't. But as Gordon says, the confidence he would have taken from the penalty kick in his first goal as well, probably said to himself, isn't there, another chance will come here against a Falkirk team that have been leaking goals at the back or leaking opportunities, definitely. And like you said, when they needed him to come up with a big goal to give them that win to make it 2 out of 2, he was there to do so.
Yeah, Rangers are going to announce one more signing this evening. It's going to be Bedreddin Bouinani that's going to come in on loan from Stuttgart. There is talk that it could be an option to buy for around £15 million, which is quite something. A young 21-year-old who's been at Nice, he's been at Stuttgart as well. Gordon Dale was actually telling me in the office earlier on, he's always been a big fan of Bouinani. But but you look at some of the players that are still at the club.
Yeah.
Not Telo Asgard. Nico Raskin, still at the club. John Souter, still at the club.
They've got a massive squad, haven't they? For me, I think Rangers fans will be delighted, and Derek will be delighted with the amount of players in the business, and they've splashed the cash. Let's not be kidded here. They've got two players of something that's 17.5 million, whatever it may be reported. But the downside is, I think they've left themselves with too many players in the building. And you look at these players as well, it's not like they're, you know, young players. These guys will be on decent contracts, big money. I think they were looking that Raskin would go, but the minute he was pitched back into the team last night, he thought, well, that's going to be dead in the water. So my big concern was, I think this is where Celtic have got it right. They're outs, they make a good bit of profit. Getting guys like John Kenny out for £3 million is, you know, no disrespect, but it's brilliant business. Rangers let Asgard go last night on a loan. He's just come back for the World Cup. He's a Norwegian internationalist.
Do you think at that point, I know there'll be, you know, wages off the bill, but at that point, is it better to just have him stay as an option? You know, he did have games last season where he affected things, scored some goals.
I thought he had a great start to the season. Up at Tannadice, he scores a terrific equaliser, and you're thinking, oh, he's built on the confidence coming back from the World Cup. And then all of a sudden, he just falls out of the picture. But I just think that letting him go on loan with an option for them to buy, I don't know if it's the best bit of business I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it is. But sometimes it's difficult, you know, from the outside looking in, it looks that way. But he might have gone to the manager and said, I want to be playing week in, week out. And Derek said to him, listen, that's not going to happen. So, you know, let's find a, you know, like the happy medium between both and try and get you out on loan. And if he does well on loan, then he comes back to Rangers a better player if he doesn't make it permanent there, or they make it permanent and they sign him. I agree, though. Rangers have got an awful lot of players that aren't making matchday squads that are big players. Like you said, a suitor, for example, it's been a big, big player for Rangers, would be on big money. To have them just in and around it and, you know, not making the squads, I think that causes another headache for Derek McInnes, one that he could do without.
Well, Rangers fans, let us know what you think. Are you satisfied with your business? What do you like? Who are you looking forward to seeing? Is there anyone that's at the club that you feel you're surprised is still there and should have moved on? 0141 951 1025. Let's take a look at the situation at Celtic. 5 signings yesterday, none today, but a lot of them were done before that Europa League deadline at 11 o'clock. Martin is a Celtic fan in Garthamlock. Martin, are you a satisfied Celtic fan after the window?
Good evening, panel. I'm kind of mixed feelings about it, and I'll tell you why. We've brought in quite a few signs, as we said there, and a couple of loanees. I think the board need to get better at bringing in players, and it's kind of been the last minute of trying to get these players in, and I don't know what they're trying to do, where they think that they, if they wait near the end of the window, that they're going to get a bargain instead of executing it back in July. So they went for 2 loanees from Chelsea. Instead of looking in Scotland, you've got Will Ferry there. Plays left back, we're crying out for one, but we go for somebody from Chelsea who's an under, 18s, and he's injured. I don't know if it's showing arrogance to Scottish football. I don't know why they're not capitalising on the signs. It's always it's a maybe, we're working on it, like the big fella for Torino. Don't know why that never got over the line. And then we've got 3 players there that are saying that can't be included in the UEFA and the team just because of their rules. Understand, because we've got the need to be from Lake Scotland, so that'll be like Ralston, McCown, I don't know if like Scales or whoever else that's going to be in there. But I just don't think they executed it well, and this has been ongoing for a number of years. Even the Brendan Rodgers that had said this, was it last year, coming back to say that they see players, and then by the time they go for it, it's then they've lost it. I just think they need to be more modernised in the way that they go about their business. And it's not down to money. I mean, because they're just Hatate with the add-ons and then Johnny Kenny. So that takes it up to that the clear Torino. That's need a box-to-box. I just think they need to get a lot better in what I've actually been doing. And Duran, he's the only one.
I'll take that point, Martin, and I'll let you come back in. Just on Celtic's transfer business, you know, Michael Nicholson came out after the summer window last year. They admitted they got some stuff wrong. It then went into the January window. Yes, there was a bit of upheaval because, you know, Wilfred Nancy left, Martin O'Neill came in. But towards the end of the window, it all maybe looked a bit rushed. Celtic signed a lot of players on loan. It looked maybe earlier on in this window that it was going to be a different trend. Camilo Duran has come in, looks very good. Kasper Hoos come in, scored goals. Hasim Hassan's come in, has you know, been bright early on. But then it's got to the end of the window, and Celtic yesterday signing five players, signed Oliver Sorensen the night before. Quite a lot of loan signings as well. They may all turn out to be really good. We never know. But just maybe the optics, Celtic fans like Martin will be questioning whether the lessons have been learned from previous windows.
It's fine margins for me, and the reason I'm saying fine margins, if Celtic had of navigated their way through last game, right, at 4-0, I think Celtic fans would be on here saying we've had a terrific transfer window. You know, they started off with bringing in real quality. Look what they brought in. Yes, I do agree with Martin. I think in days gone by, and even now, their timing is what really irritates the Celtic fans. They've got the money, they probably have the targets there. They sort of sit in their hands a little bit. Whether that's just down to the fact that it's like a lot of things now go into a transfer. You know, there've got to be three parties that are willing to go, and the money's got to be right. The buyer, the seller, and the player as well. And obviously, another big part I'll go for, the agent, because he plays a massive part in it as well. So the days have gone by of you just going up and saying, we're Celtic Football Club, we like that player, we're going to be £1 million, thanks very much, away you go. That's gone. So it did take time. But I do agree that Celtic, as a board, have been caught sitting their hands many a times, too slow to react. But looking at their transfer window, I think they've come out this transfer window really, really strong.
On Martin's point about the young players, the two players coming in from Chelsea on loan, Landon Emenalo, Shim Weka, maybe kind of ties in with this big SFA meeting tomorrow that's happening between all the clubs about trying to get more young Scottish players into matchday squads. Celtic are signing these guys on loan from Chelsea who may well be very good. I know Shim Weka is really highly rated by Chelsea. They think he could be, you know, an England international going forward. But then there'll be some supporters saying, you know, if it is positions in the squad that are, you know, backup and they're maybe not playing every single week and they're not in the Europa League squad, would it be better giving young Scottish players, or is it better signing permanent players that you can then develop?
Well, what all Celtic fans say to you, they want to win games of football. So sometimes we get caught up in, you know, where a player's coming from, their age and everything else. If Martin O'Neill and the rest of his staff think they're going to come into the squad and make it better than what they currently have, then they're right to do so. I agree with you, and I think everyone in Scotland says exactly the same thing. We need more young players getting the opportunity to come through and play. But for that to happen, there has to be more patience from us as supporters as well. We all support football clubs. If Celtic were to go and lose the next two games, but they had five or six under 21 Scotland players playing, nobody would care. We need to win. We're Celtic Football Club. So we have to be very careful what we do with that. I agree with Gordon. I think in terms of the transfer window, the way it started, it looked like the Celtic board were going to be up to their old tricks. But the way it's actually ended and the players they've brought in to improve not only their squad but their starting 11, I think they've come out with an awful lot of credit. Yes, they've brought in players on loan, and sometimes you're bringing in players on loan, i.e. from Chelsea, that you can't actually afford to buy. And the reason they can't afford to buy them is because Chelsea don't want to sell them. Like you said, they've got massive futures in the game as far as Chelsea are aware. And Celtic are going to be a team that can benefit from that by bringing those sorts of players in. So, yeah, listen, I get Martin's point in terms of he wanted it done quicker. But also, when you go to buy a player, Celtic might say, right, he's worth £5 million to us. And the selling club like, no, he's £8 million. You have to move on. Because all of a sudden, you start bringing in players for far too much money. And I think, taking you back to Adam Eder, I think we can all agree that Celtic paid far too much money for him as a player. And some fans were, you know, on this show saying, we need to sign him, we need to sign him, we need to sign him. And for whatever reason, Adam Eder did not live up to the hype at all when he was made a permanent transfer. So, listen, you have to stick within your remits. If you think a player's worth a certain amount of money, I think the board have learned from the Adam Eder transfer and they've gone about their business. I think they've done extremely well within this one.
Thank you to Martin. We'll leave that late there as we're running slightly late for the travel, but plenty more of your calls to come. 0141 951 1025.
Talking football 6 until 8. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Transfer deadline day in Scotland is officially over. It was 5 o'clock and the signings have pretty much all been confirmed. Kevin Kelsey has joined Rangers for £9 million. Bedradine Bouinani is going to join from Stuttgart on loan with an option to buy. Rangers yet to confirm that one, but all the paperwork is done. No signings for Celtic today. However, they did make 5 signings yesterday. You can let us know what you made of your team's transfer window. Maybe you want to look back on some of the games last night. Maybe you want to look ahead to tonight's Edinburgh Derby. There's the big meeting tomorrow with the SFA and trying to work out between the clubs what is the best way of getting more young Scottish players into matchday squads. So anything that's on your mind, 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Stevie, who is a Celtic fan on the line in Strathblane. Stevie, are you happy with Celtic's transfer window?
I've never been happy with Celtic's transfer policy, and I'll tell you why. Celtic never buy before they sell, and they delay transfers because they think if they get a guy in July and he pays wages for July and August, if they can hold on a bit longer and, you know, save a bit of money, we're getting Micah Bauer later than we should have because we're arguing our 200,000, we've got about 80 million in the bank. These guys think they're geniuses, but they're not. It's a failed model, and we've failed six times to qualify for the Champions League at an average of 40 million a time. That's quarter of £1 billion via B. Any other walk of life, you'd be sacked. Your desk would be cleaned out. You'd be gone because there'll be key performance indicators for every executive role in every business in the world. And these guys have failed and they think they're doing a good job. We're getting guys at the last minute in the actual last year. They didn't back Rodgers. They didn't back O'Neill. And O'Neill had to fight for his coaching staff. We're supposed to be a global football club. We've run like a corner shop. And all this is reactive. And it wouldn't matter if they signed Messi last night or Ronaldo or Harry Kane. It's too late. We're out the Champions League again. And they've got the cheek to tell you, oh, we're learning from last year's mistakes. Really? Because we're not in the Champions League again.
Stevie, can I ask you a quick... I totally hear your anger there and I can understand a lot of your points. Out the Champions League again, do you put it all down to board because you're 4-0 up, mate, with an hour to go? Come on. The manager and the players must take a big bit of responsibility for that.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Yeah, but you've got to give yourself a chance, right? You can't be buying players like, you know, 2 weeks before it and all that. Right, you've got to give yourself a chance. We took 18 months to replace Kyogo, and see what Martin's talking about with Ida. The reason we overpaid with Ida is because we messed Norwich about. This is what they do. They put low ball offers and they discuss, if the clubs are dealing with are disgusted, right? And we had to pay over the odds for Ida because if you remember, Kyogo injured his shooter and they knew we were desperate and they jacked the price up and we had no option but to pay it. And you've got the go-ahead Eagles guy coming out last year and slaughtering Celtic board because they were going after the Jacob Bruins guy, whatever his name was, when Rangers were going for Ant-Man at the same time, and actually said they should be more professional at Rangers and Rangers had a basket case at the time. The low ball offers, they annoy other clubs, you know, John McGinn, even going back then, Stephen Fletcher, this is what they do, right? They just did. See if you were doing a job, see if you were a painter and decorator, Gordon, or a joiner or something, you would needed a job, you said, I need to buy a cordless drill. You would go and buy the cordless drill. You wouldn't turn up a Yankee screwdriver. You've got the money in the bank, go and get the tool you need and get the job done.
Stevie, how many league titles have you won in the last 10 years, sorry?
Say again, mate.
How many league titles have you won in the last 10 years?
That's because the standard opposition's crap.
So what can the board get credit for then? Because like Scottish teams have no divine right to go and qualify for the Champions League. Regardless of what you're saying, I understand your frustrations in terms of wanting to bring players in and talking about the transfer policy and everything else, but it's still a great achievement if we get one of our clubs, or listen, one day hopefully get two of our clubs into the Champions League, because we don't just deserve for it to happen. There's some good teams out there. As Gordon said there, you're 4-0 up with 60 minutes left to play. That can't be on the board.
It could potentially, some people could look at it and say, if Celtic had brought in two or three more players before those games,
like
then you've got more options potentially to bring off the bench. It means that it's easier to see the game out from that position. Yes, there's got to be a level of responsibility on the players and the manager for not seeing it out. But if they did have a couple more players in, strengthen some positions, have more depth on the bench, potentially it's easier to see that.
I think the big argument back Stevie up as well is the Kieran Tierney situation. Celtic have been needing a left back for how long now? You know,
but that's not an easy position to buy for, because you're going to be a backup. How many players want to come to a football club and not play every week? Like sometimes it's like we think you can just go and get the best 24 players in the world. That doesn't work because every one of them wants to play.
See, be fair, Marv, I totally agree with what you're saying, right? Everybody wants to play. But I think when you look at Kieran Tierney's situation and the amount of games Celtic's going to play, you would have got your fair share of games. You know, it wouldn't be a killer, a goalkeeper. But look, there's
Sarachi was a good option last season as a backup to Tierney and was available at the start of this window for seemingly just over £1 million. He wanted to come and it didn't happen.
I think there's arguments for both. But the one thing I think now is, I think so far what I've seen of Celtic, and I know people say, well, it's a bit late, I think they've brought in some real decent quality. They've also brought in, recruited great money for players going out, which is part of your business, and you've got to be able to do that. And so they've ticked the box in that. Yes, they've been caught a couple of times with certain players in certain positions, and it's frustrated the Celtic fans. But I still believe firmly that with an hour to go and 4-0 up, and I know people say last looked dangerous, whatever, this isn't a world-class team. You remember, everybody touched on the substitutions of Celtic. Celtic brought on Hatate's, just went for a right few quid. Tonekti was 5 million. See what you want about Ralston, he's a Scottish international, he's played over 100-odd Graham. Last brought on Freckleton, who played with St Mirren. So it wasn't like they were bringing on substitutes at 30, 40 million to turn the game. So as much as I do agree with a lot of the Celtic fans' point of view, the one thing I won't agree with is you cannot put this year's championship, Champions League qualifier, all on the board. I don't think you can do that.
Thank you to Stevie. What about John and Coatbridge? Are you agreeing, disagreeing with Stevie?
We were at Parkhead last night and we had a discussion. Your man there just said most Celtic fans were happy if we'd have been through against Lask. That is not the case. It just isn't the case because there is nothing changed in that back four. Not one thing. You've still got a right back out injured. You've still got a left back that can't finish a game. You've got two centre halves that have been showed up in Europe time and time and time again. And yet, in their angles as well, he doesn't get a place to get let go early before the Champions League game. It's an absolute disaster. I mean, this should never, ever happen to a club like this. And you're talking about the days have gone by where you spend, fuck the team, say they're £1 million for a player. You've got agents, you've got this, you've got that, the next thing. Rangers have brought in 15 players, hassle-free, no trouble at all. They're the guy Kelsey, brought him in, £9 million, no bother at all. Celtic take about 4 months to bring one player in.
Rangers are 5 points behind you after four games. So if you're looking at someone else's transfer model and again, the money they spent last season, you go and win the league and they don't. They finish third. So we can't have it both ways here. We've spoken about, you know, teams going after players and wasting money and, you know, Celtic board. Again, they've done some things wrong as all boards do. But if you then compare them to Rangers and the players that Rangers have signed, I bet if you speak to any Rangers fan, said we could swap places with Celtic, the players that Celtic have brought in and sold on with the model that they have, it's well-renowned, not only in Scotland, but in world football in terms of them bringing players in and sending them for a profit. You're winning titles whilst doing so. I understand about the Champions League and the failings and not qualifying for that. Again, I totally get that. But, you know, you're 60 minutes away being 4-0 up. That's not on the board. And then you're comparing it to Rangers, who are 5 points behind you after four games. I mean, I wouldn't look at their transfer model and say that's been absolutely perfect because they're bringing in players and are they improving them? Are they going to get closer to Celtic? Are they going to get closer to Hearts? Are they going to win the league this season? If you speak to Rangers fans, I'm not sure that they're fully convinced by it.
Well, Marvin, I'll give you one scenario. Mm-hmm. Carter Vickers gets injured next week or the week after. What have we got left at the back? That's how bare bones we are at the back.
Yeah. But I suppose Celtic do have four central defenders. You know, Austin Trusty, Liam Scales, Dane Murray are there. Are you, when you're playing a back four, are you going to carry a fifth central defender in there?
You're not. You paid how much for Trusty? £6 million. Liam Scales has played X amount in the game. He's talking about the young
Kieran
players.
Kieran can deputise in there.
Young players have an opportunity. So you've got Dane Murray as the fourth one in there. You know, we can't have it both ways. Can't keep saying we want to see young players coming through. We want to see them coming through. Then as soon as we can possibly do it, do you know what? Make him fifth choice centre-back instead of fourth. Carter Vickers, if fit and firing, he's the best centre-half in the country. I don't think there'll be anyone who disagrees with that. So anyone that's going to be in behind him is not going to get many games unless he's injured. And I know he's had a couple of injury, you know, issues of recent, but hopefully he has a clean bill of health for this whole season. Like you said, on the left-hand side of it, you've got Trusty, who's starting games, or Scales, who's starting games. Everyone backing him up. So, you know, you're not down to the bare bones. I get it. There's going to be injuries within the season, but you're still winning titles while this is happening.
Another win last night, John, a clean sheet. Some of the new players making a good impact again. Is there still some positives in there?
Well, of course there is. I mean, the game was fantastic last night. The only other concern was, and all, Celtic's going out to try and get a loan for Taylor last night. I mean, come on. A couple of £1 million and you've got a solid backup for Tierney for a couple of £1 million. To me, that's penny pinching big time. You're going to throw a young guy in from, is it Chelsea, who's never played three senior games, and they've guaranteed he's going to be playing in Europe. There is no doubt about that.
Landon Emenalo's not in the Europa League squad.
He's not even in it?
No, neither is Shim Mueka or Joel Vandenberg. The three of them are left out.
So we're going to have Scales then slip him over as a left back in Europe if Tierney gets injured.
I think there's good points to be made there, because I think that Celtic had, and they may have tested the water, I don't know, but the ideal situation for me, the one of the best left backs in our league just now is Will Ferry. I think he's been terrific. He's got everything in his locker, and I know
surprised
that
Celtic didn't go for him.
I'd be surprised if they didn't have a conversation, right? Because I know that a Will Ferry, his ability would probably be looking and thinking, I don't want to sit and be a backup, as Mark White rightly points out, because players don't like doing that. But I just think with the competitions at Celtic in, the amount of games, Tierney will not be risked every game. It'll be probably the same as Callum McGregor this season. So I think there'd have been plenty of opportunities for Will Ferry to go and play football. That was a surprise for me, I've got to admit.
Yeah, Gordon, that was the discussion, funny enough, at Parkhead. Why we never went for him. I've seen him in the last two or three games. He's a solid, solid left mid. I mean, he's a fantastic player. He gives 100% every time Ross on that park. And to me, he's been a brilliant addition.
Well, thank you to John. What about the transfer window from a Rangers perspective? David is in Plymouth. David, are you happy with the end to the transfer window for Rangers?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Hi, David.
Good evening, mate.
I'm not overly bust about the transfer when the Rangers have got. I think it's them, they've made some really good signings, but we've got way too many players just now.
Yeah, I mean, probably a surprise. We mentioned John Souter earlier on, that he's been frozen out of squads but is still at the club. There were maybe some other players that are still on the books that you expected maybe to move on, the likes of Ross McCausland, Clinton Nciala is there as well. Rangers do have quite a big squad. That's just something that Dennett McInnes is going to have to deal with, and it's not easy as a manager, Marvin, is it, when you've got a big squad and players that are maybe missing out?
I've only got 13. No, listen, we spoke about it earlier and all the difficulties that it does bring to you know, the manager who's trying to deal with that. We speak about why the players haven't gone. You know, they'll be on really good wages at Rangers, and if you're not going to get those same wages going elsewhere, then you know, why should you leave? You know, you've got a contract and a club needs to honour that. So Dennett McInnes has kind of, you know, picked up that message, tried to improve the squad and then tried to get players out. Like you said, probably want another four or five of them out. I just don't, even stuff like training, I just don't know how you navigate your way through that. Because what you don't want to do is have players who know they've got no chance of making match day squads being heavily involved in your training sessions, because the standard just goes down naturally. You know, if you know you're not going to be involved on the Saturday or Sunday, whatever day it's going to be, you know, you're not going to train to your full capacity. So it's a real difficult one for him. I don't know if he separates the groups and says, listen, these are the players I'm going to work with. Unfortunately for you boys, you're going to go and, you know, train over there with somebody else. But something that Rangers need to be sorting out in the next transfer window.
Are there any gaps in the squad there for you, David, that Rangers didn't address, or relatively satisfied that you've got everything covered?
Not addressed the places, but well, you look at the big striker Chimiti when he went out injured, and we've spent how much money on this replacement?
$9 million.
You look at some of the players that are free and available. You could have saved that $9 million. Like, I know that they're a bit older, but players like Vardy at 39, Benzema at 38. You imagine bringing a player like that into the Scottish League and how much it would benefit.
I think Benzema over in Saudi must have been on something like
$9 million a month.
Hundreds of thousands.
He ain't flying in an easy jet to Glasgow Airport, mate. Let's just put that to bed.
I mean, if Rangers would have gone and signed Vardy, how old did you say Vardy is?
39.
You'd have been happy with that, David?
I would have been, because they've got the cover for the 6 months of a proven striker until Chimiti gets back up and running again, and then we'd have that cover back. I'm not talking about a full 4 year contract, because they're too old for it.
Yeah.
Even a player like Jordan Sancho is available on the free market, and I'd have filled a a massive gap on with a bit of experience where Rangers need it.
I think the problem with these players is they are just so accustomed to these massive wages. Jadon Sancho, another one who would have been on hundreds of thousands of pounds a week at previous clubs, that the signing on fee, the wages that you're going to have to pay for these players, even though they don't have a club, you know, there'd be hundreds of clubs across Europe trying to sign them if they were attainable, but they're just not attainable for 99.9% of teams.
Listen, I think you've got to give Rangers board a bit of credit here, because it could have been very easy to turn around and say, look, we need to try and look down the loan market.
Because normally clubs are criticised for not spending enough. Exactly. David's not happy that Rangers have spent £9 million on a guy that they're hoping is going to be a good prospect, play a lot of football, score goals, and the aim would be that they'll try and sell him on for a profit in the future.
And they've still got Nadiri, Majowski inside the building as well. So they have laid out a big investment. My only slight criticism, I think Derek would be delighted with the way he's been backed with the board. I've got to say, you can't knock them. My criticism is, I think you've got to balance it both ways. I think you've got to get players out. I think Celtic have been brilliant at it and recruit to money. I don't think Rangers has been as good.
Well, thank you to David. 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming while I tell you this. Clyde One. 400,000 pounds could be yours on Friday thanks to Make Me a Winner, and it's tax free. Someone has to win, so make sure you get your entry in. Text yes to 61025, text or 250 plus your standard network rate. It's over 18s only. Enter at makemeawinner.co.uk where you'll find the phone entry details and all the rules for this network competition. Lines close at 5 o'clock tomorrow, and all you need to do, if you get the call, just answer your phone. Simple as that. £400,000 is yours, paid straight into your bank account in time for the weekend. So for your chance to win, text yes to 61025 right now.
Talking football. 6 until 8. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The transfer window is shut in Scotland. 5 games to look back on last night. A game tonight in the Edinburgh Derby to look ahead to. I'll give you the teams for that a bit later on. Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley taking your calls all the way through to 8 o'clock. So keep them coming. James is a Celtic fan in Clydebank. James, are you happy with the end of Celtic's transfer window?
All right, guys. How you all doing?
Good, thanks, James.
I think it's another ridiculous transfer window. Even though we've signed some real quality players, the actual whole window itself has been ridiculous again. And the reasoning behind it is, and it's actually Marvin I want to rail it more aggressive than anything, because I respect Marvin quite a lot for the way he talks about football and obviously his understanding and all that of it, right? But what I can't believe is the actual defence of the ball that he's making now. A lot of people are saying there's all different facets to this, right? But Marvin said to one of the Celtic supporters about 10 titles at the last 11 or whatever it was, he said about the league titles. That's fair enough, that's in Scotland, right? But Celtic supporters are looking beyond Scotland. If Marvin wants to go away with all the success we've had in the league, right? But I want to put this tease, right? See, in the last 14, 15 years, Celtic have been knocked out of the Champions League qualifiers. Eight times out of the 10 qualifiers they've had, they've been knocked out. Now, a lot of people say when the Champions League, you can't compete with the Champions League teams, too much money. And that's even you get into the actual Champions League. That's true, because a lot of the bigger teams, at least they had top half yet, are well without their depth, right? But you see the teams that we've been eliminated against in all these qualifiers. Now, the majority of them, their stadium capacities are even bigger than Hearts and Hibs and Aberdeen. That's the level of teams that are putting us out. Now, I know there's all different things to it, right? But the fact is, this is repeatedly happening at Champions League qualifiers, and it proves that even if we can get away with it in Scotland, doing all the transfer business and hoarding off and getting away with things all the time, because that's what we do, we get away with things, because, like the guy said, we've no got major competition in Scotland. We are, without doubt, the dominant force. And that's why your board think they can get away with things, right? But it's been proven beyond a shadow of doubt now that even at the lower level Champions League qualifying teams, if you take risks and you just take them for granted, they slaughter you. Now, the reason why I'm saying this as well is everybody's saying about last night, we were 4-0 up with half an hour to go, right? Or an hour to go, whatever it was. Right, that's true. But see, even for the start of the season, the Dundee game, the Kilmarnock game, and the Dundee United game, Your deficiencies were well on display to everybody that watched the games, and that's why I'm surprised at Marvin, because Dundee United struck the board, the post and the bar five times, and Kilmarnock had several chances, and even Dundee the first game at Parkheath, the opener, they all had chances, and it's all coming from the central defensive midfield position. We've not got a proper player in there that can read the defensive parts of the game. We've all got good attacking players and all that, but we've been heavily exposed at that area, and it's obvious to everybody, everybody that knows football can see that's where it wins. And we were saying it before the last game, it was only going to take a team that had some decent goal scorers and they were going to expose their deficiencies. Now, that is on the board to me, because it's the same again. Now, we're sitting with almost £20 million transfer trading surplus now, so we're up, and then we're signing five loan. 50% of your signings this summer have been loan players. Now, per se, I don't mind loan signings per se, right? But the five loan signings we've made, we've only got an option to buy on one of them. So 50% of your transfer business is loan signings, and you're trying to say that that's a coherent strategy and the board isn't to blame for that. That's been over 15 years now that that's been happening. And as I say, most of the teams, apart from AEK Athens and Braga, most of the teams are at the level of Hearts and Aberdeen and Hibs. So are you all going to say that if we were having a 60 or a 70 or an 80% failure rate against Aberdeen, Hearts and Hibs, that this board should be getting lauded? I, when we get to the Champions League, it's different. But see, getting to the Champions League against all the teams that we played against, really, if we do our business properly, we prepare the squad early. You don't, because how come most other clubs all over the world can get their transfer business done if they want? And it goes back to what that guy said about the Rangers getting. Marvin had a wee go at him because he was saying about Rangers getting signings done. And look at they're a shambles of a club. But see, the fact is, see, when they identify a player, they go and get the deal done. They don't dither, they don't try and hang. Because the board failed to get us prepared for the Champions League, then we had a list of players who were all top level young players with big, big, massive sell on fees for future possibilities. All boys are played at international. Two of the boys played at the World Cup there, and one of them, Mamic. Now, Mamic went for £4.3 million, Seagor went for €4 million. Don't tell me safety couldn't afford these players before that. Get them in, get the damage done, and then you get them in, you develop them, and then sell them on, the same as what they've done with Hartley Engels. They're always waiting. So, as I say, the last game, the team that was there should have been able to do it, but it was all people that was watching could see that we've got so many deficiencies, and going towards the left back as well with Kieran Tierney. Now, that's been a problem position for Celtic for about the past 8 years. In fact, since Kieran Tierney left in 2018, we got Greg Taylor in, and he was a great servant, but it was always a loan signing or always this patch up, no another permanent signing to push him on. The same as other areas of the team, even the same as the goalkeepers. Now, about 6 or 7 years ago, we were linked with that boy Lovakovic, who plays for Croatia, an international guy. He's played at the World Cup, started at World Cups and everything, and we could have got him. But what do? We go and get the cheap option again. Guys at the end of their career, now don't get me wrong, Joe Hart was fantastic for us, and Schmeichel was fantastic as well. But we should be going for that. We should be going for guys in their prime, that guys you can get. So I know there's certain players you can't get, but that's a guy we could have got.
James, I'll let Marvin have a chance to reply to you, so we're not too late for the news. A lot of ground covered by
James. What do you mean to reply to?
Just all of it in chronological order would be great.
do you want James to repeat it?
Yeah. James, I wasn't protecting the board. I just said that, you know,
a few wins for Stenhouse Muir, thinks he might get the Celtic job in the future. Now he's a big fan of the Celtic board.
Exactly, and James has dealt with a lot of transfers, clearly. I'm just saying that, you know, yes, you want to go out and get the best players, and you're speaking about boys coming in on loan or doing the transfers early, but the selling club have to want to do that as well. You know, you're speaking about the size of clubs that have been knocked out. Lyon got knocked out of the Champions League in the last qualifier as well.
But I suppose the difference is the it's a pattern for Celtic. If it's happened eight times out of the last 10.
Scottish football. We don't have a divine right to get into the Champions League. This is what I'm trying to say.
That are consistently putting Celtic out. So James,
so that's the board's fault that they were 4-0 up with 60 minutes ago. That's not on anyone but the board.
But if you look at it big picture, you look at the teams. There's Kairat Almaty, Michelin, Ferencváros, Cluj, AEK Athens, a couple of others
play
in there.
Who do they play? You're rhyming these teams off as if they all had to play each other. Obviously, some teams have easier paths than others to get to the Champions League. We all understand that.
But these are the teams that Celtic have failed to qualify past in previous years. So surely, if they are teams that are either...
Should Celtic have beat them? With the squad that Celtic had...
Oh, definitely,
Exactly. So how does that fall on the board? Celtic not making the Champions League this year. How does it fall on the board? The players that they've brought in are really good players that add to the starting 11. And I understand what James is saying. It's not always been that way. Celtic have spent decent money. He's also talking about, Engels didn't want to play. He didn't want to play in the game. He told Celtic he didn't want to play, so Celtic sold him. He's gone to the English Championship. So we keep speaking about other teams in Champions League and other teams in Europe. You know, we're losing the best players. The best players from, say, Celtic, Hatate had been brilliant for how many years, goes to the Championship in England. So we have to understand where we are in kind of the pecking order. And James just saying, it's only domestic. Yes, we won 10 out of the last 11 or whatever it was in terms of the league. So all the other teams, you ask the Rangers fans, a Hearts fan, Hibs fan, they would give everything to win those. It's not easy winning games of football. There's a reason that Hearts ran Celtic so close last season. Winning championships aren't easy. And it's like, you know, some people just think they have a divine right to win it. The players have to go out there and perform to win those things. It's not just, Celtic turn up and win. It's everyone's cup final. Every time I've been there as a player, you go and play against Celtic, you go and play against Rangers, everyone raises their game. They have to win those games of football. It's difficult for them. I get it. They want to qualify for the Champions League every season. It's not going to happen.
I'll keep it short and sweet before the break. I agree with James.
Thank you to James. I think we need a breather, don't we? Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Give us a call before the news at 7 if you want to play Beat the Pundit against either Gordon DL or Marvin Bartley. 01419511025. 6 till 8 weeknights. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025. Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still another hour to get into today's talking points, whether you want to look at the end of the transfer window, maybe you want to look back on last night's games and Edinburgh Derby to come tonight as well. So 01419511025 for any of that, but let's play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. How's your form, the two of you?
By the
look on your face, it's not great.
When did you get beat?
1-4, lost one.
You've not played five times.
Form's always the last five games, no?
You've not played in the last five games.
I played one this season.
There you go. But so you've lost
four
one.
Before that. It's from
Okay. You've lost. Oh, you've played lost. One.
100% record.
Yeah.
He's got 100%. Get James back on. That'll be some game.
You've actually barely played, according to this. Normally, you play more than anyone. You've only played twice this season.
No, I've played more than that.
Oh, well.
How many times has he won?
Maybe the table's wrong. It says one win, one defeat for you.
No, I've played a lot more than twice. Honestly, you can't get the staff in here.
Oh, well, we'll see. Might be. It probably is
true. Confusing them with Roger Hanna. Look alike.
Don't get me wrong, I haven't played for a week or so.
You're thinking of the summer season, apparently.
No, I'm not thinking of summer. I've played more.
I think it's one win, one defeat.
Because I think my Tuesdays aren't great, but my Thursdays are magnificent.
Right, okay, so you're talking yourself up. It's going to be a good one tonight if it's you.
It's going to be a good one.
Right, it's going to be Alex and Denny. Alex, have you played before?
Yes.
How did you get on?
I've played twice, I think.
Bad?
Come on, Alex.
0 wins.
Zero.
I thought the pause there was maybe giving away the fact. But you know what? Maybe third time lucky for Alex. Who would you rather face out of these two?
Yeah, and Gordon.
Love that.
Oh, that's good, Alex.
Right. It's a win. You want to win?
There's three donuts you're going to get.
It'll be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for Marvin Bartley. It'll be the red side for Gordon DL. And it is the red side for Gordon
Come
DL.
Come on, Alex.
So yeah, we'll put on,
something
Alex.
Else in the ear of Gordon so he cannot hear us. And for you, Alex, you know how it goes. But 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. You can pass if that helps you out. All good?
Yes.
Let's do it. Landon Emanalo and Shim Weka have joined Celtic on loan from which English club?
Chelsea.
Ivar Pandor is what nationality?
Pass.
Who was sent off during Motherwell versus Dundee United last night?
Pass.
Who is Scotland men's team's next game against?
North Macedonia.
How many league titles has Greg Taylor won?
Three.
Which team plays at the Albert Bartlett Stadium?
Clyde.
How many Edinburgh derbies did Hibs win last year?
One.
Okay, we will bring Gordon back in. What were you dancing along to?
Should I see you, should I go now?
So I got you in the mood?
No.
Right. 30 seconds on the clock for Gordon DL. Let's go. Landon Emanalo and Shim Weka have joined Chelsea on Celtic on loan from
Chelsea.
England. Ivar Pandor is what nationality?
Dutch, no idea.
who was sent off during Motherwell versus Dundee United last night. Who is Scotland's men's next team game against?
I'll pass.
How many league titles has Greg Taylor won?
Seven.
Which team play at the Albert Bartlett Stadium?
Albert Bartlett? St Johnstone, no idea.
How many Edinburgh derbies did Hibs win last year?
One. Albert Bartley, where's Albert Bartley?
I've had a nightmare there. You I've really had an absolute had nightmare there.
Chelsea anyway.
No.
I'll tell you what,
no.
if it's down to that, he can have that. Where's Albert Bartley?
No idea.
Right, we will go through them, shall we? And we'll see how it went. I will not include that first one.
But then
Alex got that right, so that's tough.
Listen, I swear.
So just Alex not give it to...
Yeah, Alex needs to get the point, and because of what's happened, Gordon doesn't.
No, that's not Gordon's fault.
We'll go through the rest of them. I'll let the producers make the call because I know how much you love their judgment.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll do that, shall we? Ivar Pander is what nationality? Neither of you got it. He is Croatian.
Oh, no.
Who was sent off during Motherwell against Dundee United last night? Emmanuel Agye is the correct answer. Alex didn't get it. Gordon DL did get it. So it goes 1-0 to Gordon DL. Who is Scotland men's team's next game against? Neither of you got it. It's Slovenia. Remains 1-0 to Gordon DL. How many league titles has Greg Taylor won? Neither of you got it again. Still 1-0 to Gordon DL. It's 5 is the answer.
I thought they were hard tonight.
Which team play at the Albert Bartlett Stadium? Neither of you got it again.
I still don't know.
Airdrieonians. I know someone that used to play for Airdrieonians, and as a Christmas bonus, I think they got an 8-kilo bag of potatoes from Albert Bartlett. He was texting around everyone he knows going, does anyone need potatoes?
Is that what that stadium's now called?
Yeah,
never got that. Alex never got that either, did he?
Nobody got it. No. So it remains 1-0 to Gordon DL. How many Edinburgh derbies did Hibs win last year? You both said one, and it is one. So it's 2-1 to Gordon DL.
Game over.
But
see you, Alex.
We have the issue at the start.
It's not an issue. Alex gets the point. Alex gets the point.
You and cannot not give me a point.
Hang on, James. Let me explain why. The reason that he should get it is because it's not his fault that you messed up and gave Gordon the answer in the question. That's not on Alex.
Right.
Or is it on me? Or Alex gets another question.
Tiebreaker it is.
Yes.
No, it's not tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker.
No, it's 2-2.
2-1. Alex. I knew the first question was Chelsea.
You told me you didn't know.
All day long I would have known that. I'll tell you what. Alex, seeing it's you, I'm not going to a tiebreaker. Right?
Giving him the win.
No. I think Alex, another question. Okay, tiebreaker. Let's go.
Just go tiebreaker. Come on, Alex.
See if I get beaten this. I'm telling you now.
Please, Alex, come on.
It is funny as well because he definitely would have caught that. And it's all my fault.
But
it happens. I'm just going to.
We all friends are
just going to mess you about. Right. The question.
Honestly, come on, Libby.
I hope Alex wins this. Right. The question is, Alex, you hang fire. I'll get Gordon Dale to write down his answer and I'll get you to say yours out loud afterwards. How many men are in Scotland's international roll of honour, which means they've earned 50 or more caps? So essentially, how many men's Scotland internationals have earned 50 or more caps? Gordon Dale is writing down his answer. And what are you going for, Alex?
Oh.
Don't count them, Alex. Hurry up.
I'll go 30.
You've gone for 30, Gordon DL. That is a scribble. Can you tell me? You've gone for 120. The answer is 44. It's a win for Alex.
He's got... You're telling me... I mean...
30 caps is a lot.
Out of every Scottish player in the history of the game.
But think, see, back in the day, players never used to get anywhere near as many international caps because there are now so many more internationals.
By the way, I've got to go more.
When you're buying, I thought, yeah.
And that's it. And I can't believe Gordon DL has lost fair and square, and there's no controversy whatsoever. And Alex has got his first win, and there's definitely no asterisks next
Alex,
to it.
Alex, how do you feel?
Over the moon.
Yes, no, Alex.
Alex, you can't feel over the moon, mate. I tell you what, we'll send you half the ball or half the coin. What one do you want?
I would like the coin, please.
Right, we'll send you the red side then.
That was brilliant.
What a disaster.
No, I'm delighted with that.
I would have got that all day long.
Nah, easiest, I don't think so.
No chance question.
No chance.
Easiest question.
He said Tottenham.
Alex was rotten and he got it.
And then he got the tiebreaker.
Yeah, and he beat you. So, what's that say about you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Mate, honestly, see when I was so confident.
Do you want to know why I had to double check? It was a scribble, but I thought it said 120, and I was going, that surely can't say 120.
I am amazed by that. Right. How long Scotland?
Caps. I know, but think back
Come
in the day
on, for
decades.
Recently.
But decades ago, you didn't have that many internationals in a year. You maybe played what, six games or something.
Nah, I've got to double check that.
Anyway,
right. I can't believe I'm not having that. I'm not having that. I don't got that question.
Fair and square win from Alex. Yeah, brilliant. Maybe the best win or beat the pundit ever. Well done, Alex. Who's your team?
Hearts.
Ooh, how are you feeling ahead of tonight?
Oh, no, Alex didn't get that right. Alex lost. Alex, you lost, mate.
How are you feeling ahead of tonight, Alex? Confident?
Oh, no, I'm never confident going Easter Road. It's always never an easy place to go to.
I suppose maybe these days you'll feel a bit better, though, than you might have in previous years, just given how last season went. Have you been pleased with this transfer window and the business that's been done? Claudio Braga staying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of glad that Braga stayed, and I'm quite looking... the look of the new boys and James Wilson as well. He's coming to form as well, so hopefully he can bag another one today, the night in the derby.
Are you actually going, Alex?
No,
part time support. I'm
a season ticket holder at Tynecastle, though.
Oh, that's okay then. That's put me right in my place. Right.
Alex, were you surprised that Braga stayed?
Yes, obviously, when Shanklin left, I thought Braga may have followed, but. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad he's not.
Alex, you must be delighted with your manager. You know, he got off to a ropey start, obviously losing a lot of goals, but you're up against top quality teams. But the side he's put together, the togetherness that the Hearts players seem to have, the football they're playing, you must be delighted with that, you know, especially after losing Derek McInnes, Shanklin, Devlin, who were massive parts of what you got to the final game against Celtic last year. So you must be over the moon with the recruitment of the manager.
Yeah, team. Obviously, I thought it would take a wee bit well to rebuild the squad again, but he's obviously came in. Obviously, a tough run of fixtures in Europe, and then obviously qualified for the Conference League. And obviously, I think we were kind of robbed against Aberdeen first game of the season, but he seems to getting wins, which is the most important thing.
Brilliant. Thank you to Alex. Well done on Beat the Pundit, and we'll pretend that just didn't happen at all. Right, let's speak to Ian, who is a Rangers fan.
See, no, Sean, it's the first time I've ever missed Gordon Duncan.
It is Ian, who's a Rangers fan in Poland, up next. Ian, how are you feeling after Rangers transfer window is finished? Well, I was going to say is complete. It's not quite complete. Bedreddin Buonanni is going to sign, just hasn't been confirmed yet. But are you pleased with the business that's been done overall? Do you think there was more business that needed to be done?
Yeah, hi Gordon, Marvin, Andrew, how you all doing?
Hi,
thanks for having me on. I was quite pleased with, certainly, I mean, the main point I'm making is that I want to put a marker down that I'm totally backing McInnes, and I'm sure that he'll come good. And I think the fact that the board have put so much money behind him shows, how much they believe in him. And I think it's just, for me, in my opinion, it's just to do with the fact that he's never been at a club where it's had this much pressure, you know, when there's been that much scrutiny and every decision's dissected and everything. And I just think that it'll take a wee bit of time. But he's had a couple of decent results. Not great football. It's not. I think that'll come with time. But I'm pretty sure he'll come good. I'm putting my marker down now. I think that he'll come good. I don't know what you guys think about that.
What did you make of the performance last night, Ian?
Actually, I missed the last one. I still need to look at the highlights. I know the previous one, it was so-so, so I've never had a chance, actually. I still need to have a look at the highlights. I know that the result tells itself that they're not really trying to be, at clinical. You know, it's about Celtic winning games now, 3-0 or 4-0, and Rangers are just winning by a single goal. It's a step in the right direction, but like I said, I think that'll come when the players are, begin to gel. He gets his best 11. He just needs a bit of time, That's what I think.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a mixed bag, isn't it? he's rebuilding there. He's got new players in. He came in for a bit of criticism. The European campaign was dreadful, absolutely dreadful. But he went into two difficult away games in the sense that the pressure was on to win. Forget the style of football. The style of football is not great. Let's not be kidded here. And you look at last night, at times Falkirk bossed them. And the lad, when Fernandes made that mistake, that is John McGlynn's Achilles heel right now. I think he's went out there once again in that transfer market. So he needs somebody that's got to put the ball in the back of net at valuable times. But all credit to Rangers, they kept going. Shanklin gets his third goal in two games. While he's rebuilding, the one thing, if you're not playing good football, if you're with Rangers or Celtic, the one thing you've got to do is win games. It's as simple and straightforward as that. Win games. They had two away games. Aberdeen, yes, 1-0 penalty kick. I thought they deserved to win that. And then obviously another difficult one last night at Falkirk. They've got over a line with that. They've got big, big games coming up. But he's got a good squad there now. He's got a big squad. He's got plenty to choose from. He's been heavily backed. Rangers fans will still be looking for results, but you've got to be looking for a little bit more in the performance as well for me.
To go along with that, Marvin, obviously the positives being that it's two wins and the bounce in the league, but maybe just not the performance level that Derek McInnes would quite want yet and that supporters are looking for.
Yeah, and I think Ian makes a great point in terms of the players needing time to gel. But like Gordon said, when that is happening, they need to be winning games of football, and they've managed to do that the past two games, and they need to continue doing that, because like you said, when in the way that Rangers are playing in terms of the style, or some people might say lack of style, it's difficult for Derek. You know, a lot of new players have been brought in together. He's trying to get his ideas across to them. It's going to take them, you know, maybe a month or 6 weeks from now to actually see them at their best. But he needs to keep on winning the games, because the pressure was building. Like you said, the Aberdeen game was absolutely massive. And if they'd have dropped points away to Falkirk yesterday, you know, it would have been some really, really unhappy fans. So listen, Long Shanklin comes up with two big, big goals. Yes, Fernandes makes that mistake and, you know, get themselves out of jail to keep pulling off a really good save. Could they have been better? Yes. Was it probably, you know, too tight for in terms of Derek McInnes, in terms of what he's watching? Yes. But, you know, it's another win and they're heading in the right direction, at least with results.
Well, thanks to Ian. 01419511025 on the phones. I'll set up a teaser for Gordon and Marvin next.
It's game on until 8. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're taking your calls all the way through until 8 o'clock. There were five big Premiership games last night, but a lot of the focus has been on the transfer window. The window closed at 5 o'clock, so if you want to tell us what you thought of your team's transfer window in general, what about the end of the window? Did you get all the players on deadline day or just before deadline day that you wanted? You can let us know. 0141 951 1025. Got an Edinburgh derby tonight as well, and I'm going to set this up for the guys.
The full-time teaser with Arcplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Yes, thank you to Arcplan Glasgow, as always, for the full-time teaser. And we could be reading your teaser on tomorrow's show. Get your questions in for the guys by emailing fulltime@clyde1.com. Thank you to Zachariah for this one. Can you name the last 8 Celtic players who have played in an Old Firm match and an Edinburgh derby? So they played for Celtic, they've played against Rangers for Celtic, and they've played in an Edinburgh derby.
Anthony Stokes.
Anthony Stokes is correct.
And the next one, Shanklin's not played yet.
The last 8 Celtic players who have played in an Old Firm or an Edinburgh derby.
Do you know the worst?
So
it is
the key element of it.
I've actually written it down. Right, okay.
So out of the three elements of the question, he doesn't fit 2 of the criteria.
Right,
I know I can't talk given what's happened on this show tonight.
I've sort of got that one mixed
Commons?
Up.
Chris Commons?
Chris Commons? No. Chris,
no. Oh yeah, Hibs. I forgot. Lee Griffiths.
Lee Griffiths is correct. Right, we will get
back
to that. Let's speak to William, who's a Celtic fan in Craigend. William, how are you feeling about the end of Celtic's transfer window?
How you doing, guys? Good evening to you.
Hello, mate.
I think what Gordon says is right. I think we look as if we're stronger and we look as if we've got goals in the side this season. So, but it's just something that Marvin picked up on. I think he's got the wrong end of the stick. And I want to, every Celtic fan that's come on tonight, is they entitled to for Celtic to win that qualifier game to get into the Champions League? That's not the point Celtic fans are making. It's a systemic problem that through the eight failures, the lack of contingency plan, the lack of being ahead of the transfer market to take us to give us the best chance for the most important games of the season, and the board have failed continuously over the eight failures. It's not about what you're talking about. The 4-0 up with 60 minutes to go. Okay, Martin, there was a few problems. Martin could have put Durant up front, could have brought Hassan on, so he could have done a lot of different things, maybe even to keep Celtic in the game. But we're talking about a systemic problem that Celtic have had through a number of years. No contingency plan for the most important games of the season. And that's what we're talking about. Not one Celtic fan has come on here tonight and said we're entitled to be in the Champions League when you're talking about levels, Martin, Marvin. And that's where you're getting it wrong, mate.
Yeah, so didn't they not bring on Frecklington in last? Who did they bring on that played for St Mirren last season? So in terms of who you're playing against, and we're saying you were 4-0 up with 60 minutes to play, I don't get how that can be on the board. Like we're saying, it's not like the opposition have got players that they're bringing on that cost 10, 15, 20 million pounds. I get in previous years, it's definitely happened, and I've been in agreement with you. And at the start of this one, I thought Celtic were very slow to start doing their business. But now the transfer window's closed, I look at the players that they have brought in and the impact they have had on your team in terms of the goals that have been scored by summer signings, and I don't see how you can look at it and say it's been a poor transfer window. I'm not protecting the board, and that's where you're very, very confused. I'm not protecting the board at all, because before last year, I totally agree with you, Celtic took too long to do their business. But you've brought in players now that have impacted the starting 11. So this year, looking at it in isolation, you should have qualified for the Champions League and you didn't. That's not down to the board for me. The players that they have brought in this season, now the transfer window's closed, have been players that can improve your starting 11. Are you disagreeing with the players that have been signed, they don't improve your starting 11?
No, I disagree with the way the board treats the football department.
No, I understand that, but I'm talking about this year in isolation. Do you agree that the players you have brought in, do they improve your starting 11?
That's what I've said earlier. I said this season they've spent money. We've got goals in our team now, but it should have been done last transfer window. Last transfer window in January, we brought in 5 loan players.
I know, but I'm not talking about January. Like, this is where you tell me I was confused. You're confused. I'm not speaking about January. I'm talking about this summer window. Before, I definitely agree with you. The Celtic board last summer, they got it wrong. You didn't qualify for the Champions League. I agree with you. That is on the board. They took too long to back the manager and bring the right players in. Talking about this one in isolation, you sound like you're in agreement with me that they brought in players that you said add goals that make the starting 11 better.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? But it should have been done in January. It should have been done last year. They should have had a contingency plan in place. And the eight failures proves that point.
I know, but we're talking about two different points here. I'm speaking about the summer transfer window of 2026, and you're going back eight transfer windows previous to that. I can't remember what you guys did in previous other ones. I'm a Hibs supporter, not a Celtic one. But what I will say to you is I agree with last year, 2025 summer window, the board got it wrong. What I'm saying in the 2026 window, I believe from the transfers that you've made and the players you've brought in, they've got it right, which you're in agreement with. So I think we're in agreement in terms of the point and the question that was asked.
I think the problem Celtic have got, there's a lot of the players that Celtic go for and the leagues haven't started yet. So you've got a level. They've got a level and a category that Celtic can sign players. They've got to be a certain level that Celtic can sign players to compete in the Champions League. So I think the problem, there is problems and there's a lot of different facets, as one of the other Celtic fans said before. But what You can't deny that the eight failures in the most important games, not one Celtic fan on here tonight is saying that we're entitled to be in the Champions League. What we're saying is, we're saying we should be the best prepared for the games, and we're not. And the 8 failures proves that. That's the point we're trying to make.
So the failure's down to a lack of preparation from the board signing the players and nothing to do with what actually happened within the game. I'm pretty sure Callum McGregor said after the last one and they had beaten you that they just, as players, they weren't good enough within the game. You go into that one 3-0 up from the first leg, you score the first goal, you're 4-0 up with 60 minutes to play. I think that shows that the players are good enough. I think the home leg showed that you had a good enough squad and starting 11 to go through within that. And you lost that game due to what happened in those last 60 minutes. And obviously, you know, what happened in extra time. That's not the players not being good enough and the board not backing the manager and not having the right players within the building. Because you showed to be 4-0 up, the right players must have been there.
The problem is between the board and the football department. The board treat the football, it's an upstairs, downstairs attitude. And that's where the Celtic fans have got a problem with. They treat the football department different from the treat the club. And that's the biggest problem where the Celtic fans are coming from. It's not a case of the players that are there already. Callum McGregor's been an outstanding player for us. And there's been rumours about Callum leaving, but he's a one-man club, and I don't think he'll ever leave Celtic, but at the end of the day, it just shows you. I mean, see, when you look, you're talking earlier about young players trying to get through into that Celtic team, or even any of the teams in the Premier League. When you just have to look at Stephen Welsh last season at Motherwell. He was absolutely outstanding, and he can't get in that Celtic team, and he's had to leave. He's had to leave Scottish football and go to Swansea to get first team football. And that's a systemic problem as well within the game.
Well, thank you to William. I just want to touch on that because it actually links us on nicely. I was going to get your opinion on this, Marvin. There is this meeting between the 42 SPFL clubs tomorrow and the SFA. I think it's sort of been billed as this big thing. It's maybe not quite the meeting that some people are making out to be, that there's going to be this reform in, you know, Scottish football, and they're going to rip up the whole thing and the pyramid's going to be different. It's more to do specifically with getting more young players in match day squads to try and improve the development of young players in Scotland for us to just plan for the future and get better players. How are you feeling about the current state of things, and what are you hoping the points that are raised tomorrow, what can be changed in Scottish football to make it a brighter future for young players in Scotland?
Yeah, there's probably a few ways that, you know, it could be helped. The first one's probably bringing in a rule or bringing back a rule to say that you have to have a certain amount of, you know, under 21 Scottish players within the squad. I think now when you have 9 substitutes, it's fair to say that maybe 2 of those could be you know, under 21 Scotland players. I think it needs to happen. I think clubs need to be forced into it. The other side of it is, you know, whether, you know, you look at the end of each season and how many players that you've had that are under 21 or under 23, what it might be, that are Scottish born that have played a certain amount of minutes, a financial reward for doing it. I think they're probably the two best ways to look at it, as a financial reward, or you just force a rule upon people. And guess what? If you force a rule, then it might become one of those where people are saying, well, listen, we need to have extra subs, and that thing goes away from it because those players are never going to get on the pitch. It's a financial one, then you make your own decisions, don't you? The bigger clubs might say, no, it's not for us. But some of the smaller clubs, i.e. when we were at Livingston last season, I think you would definitely be rewarding the younger players and giving them those first team opportunities to go and play. So I'm hoping it's something along the lines of that. I also hope, obviously now being in the Championship myself and, you know, seeing certain other managers in the same situation, something that I think needs to change is the 3 call-up rule to get a game cancelled. Because if you are playing young Scottish players and, for example, 2 of them get called up to under-21s, you still want to go and play on a Saturday without them. You know, ultimately, you're probably going to be 2 of your best players. So I think something needs to be looked at in that sense, because it doesn't make sense at this moment in time to play these young players, because if only 2 of them get called up or 1 of them gets called up and you miss your best player for 1 or 2 games, you know, that's hurting your team. But what we're trying to do is get these boys more minutes. So that's something else. I think that the lower levels need to be looked at as well. Definitely the Championship, to say that even if you've got 1 player that's called up, by the way, 2 Scotland under-21s, you can afford to get your game, or you can ask to get your game called off.
Yeah, that meeting is tomorrow, so we can get some reaction to that tomorrow night. Let's go back to the phones. Chris is a Celtic fan in Clydebank. Chris, how are you feeling about Celtic's transfer window?
How you doing? Good evening, panel. It's been better than previously, but still, I don't think it's been good enough. I was just chatting to the producer there. I think Marvin's been getting it tonight a bit off a few of the Celtic fans. I just kind of wanted to pick up on kind of where they left off. It's more to do with specifically this window Now, I know, obviously I get what Marvin's saying in terms of, yes, the Celtic board has signed players that have improved the squad 100%, but as other callers tonight have highlighted, Celtic have struggled defensively. We've given up a lot of chances this season so far, like Dundee United hitting the bar in the post so many times and stuff like that. You could argue, no, I'm not saying pinning it down to one player, because obviously the game against last is unforgivable. Like, that's definitely, that one night cannot be put to the board. But in a bigger picture, of course it can, because we let Engels go before that tie. Now, we've literally got teams that weren't willing to negotiate or sell players to us because they were waiting until they'd played their qualifiers. So why can they do that?
Arne Engels did tell Celtic he didn't want to play in those games though, Chris, but I suppose the counter-argument to that is if Celtic knew Arne Engels wanted to leave, which, you know, you would imagine they maybe knew, you know, a few days before that game there had been interest in him in January. Is that a position that Celtic should have strengthened in before those games?
I'm totally with Marvin, the football side, but I totally understand the Celtic fans, because Celtic board have got a terrible habit of leaving things to the last minute. We've seen it last year, we've seen it in January. Their signings, Martin O'Neill didn't even use any of the loan signings that come in. They just plucked names out of a bag and brought them in, and, you know, they weren't good enough, let's be honest about it. Martin O'Neill decided, no, that's not for me. I think they have done a real good bit of business. I totally get what Celtic fans are saying about, you know, the biggest argument was we never replaced Kyogo. Remember that one that came on for months upon months upon months? They were less stranded with one or two players. I'm with Marv on the football side of it. 4-0 up an hour to go. I think you should see that through. You're not playing against world beaters. But I totally can understand that if you're Celtic, and the biggest rod to beat them with is the fact that they're cash rich, right? And they do penny pinch a little bit. They try and get the best deal. Now, as a board, people will say, well, that's your job. But another flip side, you've got to give them a pat on the back for the money they recruit for players is unbelievable, right? It's unbelievable. You look at, they're probably in a profit just now. They've spent a lot of money. But the amount of players that went out, you know, Hatate's, Johnny Kenny there for $3 million, the money they got for Ingles, Maeda, you can go on, there's a list of them, you can go on and on. So that way, I think they're absolutely brilliant at it, business-wise. But I understand the frustrations that it's left time after time after time. And there's a perfect example. They didn't even get cover in for a left back in Kieran Tierney, when we know all the problems with Kieran with finishing games. And they make 5 signings yesterday, you know, a day before the transfer window closes. But I'm not blaming the board that they're out of the European competition.
Thank you to Chris. Rangers fans, that signing is now official. Badreddine Bouinani has signed on loan from Stuttgart. They have confirmed it on their social media pages. I think it got done earlier on today, but the official tweet is there with all the pictures of him in a Rangers shirt. So maybe you want to talk about that signing, maybe you want to talk about yesterday's games. Edinburgh Derby is starting in 5 minutes time, and we'll get some more answers on this teaser before we go to a break. Can you name the last 8 Celtic players who have played in an Old Firm game and an Edinburgh Derby? You have Lee Griffiths and you have Anthony Stokes.
Scott Allen? Yeah.
No.
Shug, you're absolutely hopeless.
Did he text you?
Because he worked for him on a Friday night. Honestly, I'm never listening to that guy again. Right, he kind of goes far back at Scott Brown's and people like that, surely.
Scott Brown?
Scott Brown, yep.
Is he?
You're miles off it. Oh, that means...
One of the answers was Anthony Stokes. That's what Marvin said earlier on. Gary Mackay-Steven, correct. Yeah, we will get more after the break.
Taking your calls 7 days a week. Weeknights, Saturdays and Sundays 4-7. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley here with me, Andrew McLean. We're looking back on last night's action. The transfer window closed at 5 o'clock. So any final thoughts on that? 0141 951 1025. The Edinburgh Derby is just kicking off. I think there is a slight delay because there have been beach balls that have been thrown onto the pitch by the Hearts supporters, so they've managed to clear those up, and Martin Boyle is standing over the ball waiting to get going at Easter Road. Always enjoy an Edinburgh Derby.
Well, thinking, nobody better than this man here. You scored in an Edinburgh Derby, didn't you?
You're so annoying. We all to the question.
What, was it an on goal?
No, I didn't score at all. He doesn't score any goals when I was at him, that's why.
Right, let's get on with this teaser. Can you name the last 8 Celtic players who have played in an Old Firm game and an Edinburgh derby, like Gary Mackay, Stephen, Lee Griffiths, Scott Brown, Anthony Stokes?
Kenny Miller must be one.
Kenny Miller, correct.
Yeah.
Effie Ambrose?
Effie Ambrose, no.
No, no, why? Like, which he's not played in what, an Edinburgh derby?
No, he might have played in both, but he maybe misses the time threshold because it's organised by their last appearance in either game. Right. So it's just either the last Edinburgh derby or Old Firm they played in, so he maybe misses out just on based on the time,
here's,
time scale.
I'm going to throw one. I just think all the pundits are about McGeady.
Aidan McGeady, good shout from you. You have 2 more to get.
Nah, he's been messaging them.
That there.
It's the last person I was listening to.
Well, the first suggestion he gave you was rubbish, so...
Hopeless.
Right, Edinburgh Derby, just kicking off, there has been... I mean, there's quite a lengthy delay.
A VAR already.
This is about VAR call before it's even started. Referee is making his way over to the touchline.
Don Roberts, he refereed our game the other day, and can I say he was... I'm not going to put my mouth on him. He was unbelievable, like so good. I normally come in and hammer referees, don't I?
Nah, honestly, I was expecting that to be criticism there.
Mate,
when you were
honestly,
up, yeah.
Brilliant.
Who's that?
Don refereed our game the other day, and he was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So,
what did you like about his performance?
Just like he actually made a mistake at one point, and he just like held his hands up and like just said across to the benches, "Listen, I got that one wrong." But it's like communication with the players and everything about him, just his whole demeanor. A lot of referees don't even want to speak to people now, and if they do speak to you, they speak to you in a certain way. But no, I thought he was class.
If it cost you a goal, we had the same opinion of him.
Well, their goal was actually offside, but that wasn't him. That was a linesman.
All right, okay.
Assistant referee.
Nobody scored a legit goal against you, have
they? Nah, we only conceded 2 in the league, so.
I'll be watching you tomorrow night, big guy. I'll be
in the bath.
No, I won't. I'm actually at a function. Sorry, I'll
get it on your phone.
I don't watch football on my phone, mate.
No. Nah. What do you watch on your phone?
YouTube.
Yeah, you got that VPN still.
I'm now disturbed whenever I hear about anyone listening to Super Scoreboard in the bath, because earlier on this week, my cousin had a Tyler in, and my cousin was walking about our flat, and she could hear my voice coming from the bathroom where the Tyler was working, and she went in and she was like, "Oh, it's actually my cousin that's on Super Scoreboard sometimes."
And was the guy Tyler was like, in the bath?
No, he wasn't in the bath, but he was working in the bathroom.
Yeah,
and he said, "Oh, I listen all the time, never miss an episode of Super Scoreboard." But he said there's one issue, that when I listen to it in the bath, that Andrew's voice is actually too deep, that I need to adjust the bass on it. I struggle listening to him when I'm in the bath. That's how it was pitched to me.
Sounds like you do it for him.
Yep. Yeah, that's
shout out to the toilet.
It's always good to get feedback, I suppose.
Well, yeah. I'm a Wednesday bath and I've never had to adjust.
No.
Yeah, every Wednesday.
The radio,
mate.
Yeah.
No.
Good.
Every Wednesday, mate. Listen, we get back to this quiz.
No, we'll do it at the end. We've got 2 more to get. We'll get that at the Edinburgh Derby. The Edinburgh Derby has, your best mate. The Edinburgh Derby has kicked off. Hearts are venturing forward, and I think that's going to be a corner to Hearts early on. Predictions for this one? How do you think this is going to go?
I think this will be a tight game, but I just like the way Hearts play. I'm going to go narrow victory for the Jambos.
I'm going to go 2-1 to Hibs. They're not the way it started, though.
It's not shocked me.
Yeah, 2-1 to Hibs.
Let's look back at some of the other games last night, shall we? Because we've not really touched on too many of them just because the transfer window finished today. Let's start with Kilmarnock 0, St Mirren 1. We were on air last night when St Mirren scored that first goal. You did fear for Kilmarnock a little bit. They managed to stop it at 1, but 4 defeats on the bounce, 14 goals conceded now. Not a great start to the season for Neil McCann.
No, especially after the impact that they came in and made last season. Kilmarnock, they could have been in trouble at the bottom end of the table, and Neil and Billy Dodds obviously steered them to safety. I actually listened to his post-match yesterday, and he was completely right in terms of what he was saying. It's really, really early days. People know that the transfers that they brought in and the recruitment that they have made maybe expected them to have started better. He expected them to start better, but they just need that one win to get them going, or that one time to go ahead in the game, and the pressures are totally different at that point. So, yeah, listen, it's been a real difficult start for them. There's no doubt about that. But Neil will know that he needs to turn it around and turn it around quickly, because football can be unforgiving.
Motherwell 3, Dundee United 0. Early red card for Emmanuel Agui, as we heard on Beat the Pundit. First of all, red card for you. How did you feel about it?
I think it's both camps. If it's given against you, I think this big guy wouldn't be happy with a referee. But if it's given for you, you'd be delighted with it. But you've got to take full... Would you call it full... What word I'm looking for? Full benefit of it if you're going to go and win the game. And Motherwell, if the type of football team they are, it's hard enough playing them at 11v11. They brought in some good signings.
A lot of them have made such a quick impact as well. Two of them scoring last night. Dylan Levitt on his first appearance. Said Palmer Holden starting that game.
He looks a handful.
But the pick of the goals, Alex Lowry's goal. Yeah. I mean, the highlights don't even do it justice, because there's like a, I don't even know how many passes there were in the build-up to it, but it's an unbelievable passing move finished off by an unbelievable strike.
It's funny, because I was speaking to a couple of Motherwell supporters today who'd been at the game last night, and the only biggest compliment I can give this new manager is they're saying that they're enjoying the football more now at Fir Park this season than they did last year.
Who would have thought that was possible, given how good things were under Jens Bertelsmann?
They go forward a little bit quicker, don't they? I think that's probably the only thing. Like, Jens, listen, was brilliant. Unless I can't say anything bad about him and the football that they played. I just think they go forward maybe a little bit quicker now, which some supporters will appreciate and want to see. But listen, it's a brilliant result for Motherwell yesterday. But for me, that's a red card in the modern game. It's just...
Because
of the height of it, and he just seems out of control, doesn't he? 5 or so years ago, he might have got away with a booking, but I don't think you're going to get away with it now.
Just so many things going right at Motherwell, which makes you think that just the structure at the club in place is good, because it's good managerial appointments, the recruitment's been good, the football has been good. It's kind of all just coming together.
The club's in a brilliant place, and the crowds are well up as well. Everybody's buying into what Motherwell are doing. They're a brilliant run club. Brian Caldwell at the club has done a terrific job with the board and choosing the right managers just to keep everything ticking along. Absolutely terrific if you're a Motherwell fan just now.
Right, let's finish off this teaser. Can you name the last 8 Celtic players who have played in an Old Firm game and an Edinburgh derby? You have Aidan McGeady, Gary Mackay-Steven, Lee Griffiths, Scott Brown, Anthony Stokes and Kenny Miller.
I'm struggling here. How far back are we going?
It's kind of tough to judge that, because both their last Edinburgh derby appearances were in the last 2 and a bit years, but their last Old Firm appearance was a bit before that.
No.
So they've played for an Edinburgh club more recently than they've played for Celtic.
Right.
Oh, they played Celtic players, former Celtic players.
I mean, they're all Celtic players. What are you guys not grasping about?
Right, come on.
I'm saying it because of his earlier answer.
They both play the same position. It's a very specialist position.
Number 10.
Are goalkeepers.
They're goalkeepers?
Yes.
Scott Bain never played. Scott Bain?
No.
He played with Hibs.
Craig Gordon.
He's not an answer. Craig Gordon is one of them.
David Marshall.
Yes, David Marshall is correct. Thank you very much to Gordon DL and to Marvin Bartley. Thank you very much to you at home for getting involved on the phones, on social media, and of course just watching along in a live stream, listening away on the radio, whether you do it in the bath or not. Always good wherever you join us. Yes, it is goalless in the Edinburgh derby, 7 minutes in. Full reaction to that, the big summit on youth players tomorrow as well. We can talk about that tomorrow with Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen, and it's Callum Gallagher that's with you next.